on the Fan Time News, the crown topic of the day. And it is the trade deadline, just hours away. And for the New York Mets, they have a rare opportunity. You know, the Yankees organization always in this spot as far as being in the postseason and being ready to go forward and go all in. With the Mets, that's not always the case. And the one thing that you could ask from an owner is that he prioritizes, or that they prioritize, winning. And Steve Cohen has shown that he has prioritized winning for the most part since taking over ownership of the New York Mets. Well, today is a judgment day to a certain extent. You know, I've said many times, I believe in Steve, or dubbed him King Cohen. Well, days like today are what separate kings from peasants. Days like today are what make you believe in an owner or doubt an owner. And with the Mets playing themselves into this spot, and to the Mets' credit, with Steve Cohen, David Stearns talking about being a playoff team before the year started, even when things were going wrong, still maintaining that playoff stuff, and we were laughing at him. I was mocking him. What are you kidding me? Playoffs? Come on. This isn't a playoff team. Well, I was wrong. They were right. And now I'm right about something, and we're going to see what they do. The results may vary. It's not about what happens after this. Obviously, you want to have the ultimate success and go out there and make the postseason, maybe win a division, maybe win a World Series. Obviously, that's the case. And that's why you make the moves like I want the Mets to make today. But here's what I'm right about. You don't get this opportunity very often. You need to go for it when you do. 6 games over .500, half game behind Atlanta for the top spot in the National League wildcard race, only 9 games behind the Phillies, who are coming all of a sudden back down to the pack. The opportunity is there. There should be no limit on what the Mets could do. It's not about next offseason. It's not about next year or beyond. It's not about the farm system. It's about now, right here. We're living in it. There's no way, especially based off of what happened with the Diamondbacks a year ago, the Phillies 2 years ago, there's no way anybody could tell me that the Mets can't go win a World Series this year. Is it likely? Of course not. But it'd be a lot more likely with the right moves today before 6 p.m. They can win a World Series if they make the right moves. And then obviously other stuff has to happen, but they have to do their part and go for it. Unlike 2022, where they went for it in 2021, just the wrong timing, wrong move, wrong player, trading Pete Crow Armstrong for Javi Baez. And because of that, it prevented them from going all in a year in 2022, where it was blatantly obvious that they should have gone all in. Had they gone all in instead of Vogelback and Ruff, they would have won the division and maybe would have had a different fate in the postseason, as opposed to backing into the postseason and then losing to the Padres in the wildcard round. They didn't learn from their mistake. They thought they did. They thought the mistake was 2021, and it was, but not because of the aggression. It was because of the player that they got. And then they doubled down and made the mistake in 22 of not being aggressive. And they paid for it both times. And now we're here. After last year's, I thought, brilliant plan to pivot and realize that team wasn't it. They weren't going anywhere. You know, record-wise, standings-wise, could they have made a run? Sure, but it's different. That's different than what we're seeing this year, where it does feel like there is something special with this team. A team that was dead and buried multiple times throughout the course of the season. Now alive and well. Whether it's Grimace, whether it's OMG, the chemistry that they've had. They've shown you that it's different. The offense playing at a level as high as anybody in the sport for a prolonged period. This isn't just a lucky stretch. It's a bunch of players that have some track record and that have failed at times, but also have had success putting it all together. Some guys having career years all at once. When these things happen, you need to give them everything you can to take your best shot. That's where we're at with the Mets. Not just a pitcher. And look, Winker's a nice move. Maton's a nice move. Stanek, but whatever. Understood it. You need major league arms in the bullpen, and those guys are upgrades. But they're not the moves. The Mets need to go all in. Like big boy time all in, like they did in 2015. They backed into it. You know, their first choice was Gomez. Luckily, that fell apart. Last second, they ended up trading Fulmer for Cespedes. Begrudgingly, reluctantly, whatever, they got the job done. And they got the rewards from it. It paid dividends. Cespedes got them to a World Series, or helped get them to a World Series. Took off like a rocket ship after that, surpassing the Nationals. That's what needs to happen now. And this team is better than that team. This team is better than 2022. They're better than 2015. They're better than 22. This might be the offense, the best offense that we've seen as a whole since 2006 from the New York Mets. Which is refreshing, because usually they're built pitching heavy and you're begging for the bats. Well, now they've got a team that they could hit, a deep lineup. Now they need an arm. Well, two arms. But they need a top arm to anchor that rotation. A game one starter in the postseason when they get there. And they need a legitimate bullpen arm. Stanek was fine. Maton's fine. They need a legitimate, one of the better bullpen arms available. Anything short of that will be an extreme disappointment. Especially for an organization run by a guy that I call King. Well, at some point, you're going to need to see those King-like moves. A King, when he sees an opportunity, would go for it. The opportunity's there. Doesn't mortgage the future. You're not ripping apart the entire farm system. You could either give up some prospects, just pick the right ones to give up like the Yankees always seem to do, or take on some money. Take on a bad contract. You paid last year for Verlander and Scherzer to go away. Oh, and by the way, Verlander's not going to have that option kick in, so you won there. Spend some of that money back. That's what a King would do. Take on a bad contract. If it means taking on Baez's contract to get Skubal, so be it. Means taking on Blake Snell's contract, so be it. Snell, Skubal, Flaherty. One of those three and a legit bullpen arm. Doesn't have to be Tanner Scott, the best arm, but a legit bullpen arm that's available and one of those top three starters, and the Mets are in business, and they will have as good a chance as anybody in Major League Baseball to go out there and win a World Series. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT off. Be back with us tomorrow. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Sam is calling from Norwalk. What's up, Sam?
Good afternoon, Sal. I'm a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Great show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you clearly outlined at the trade deadline what needs to happen for both the Yankees, mostly for the Mets, and also the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you, what do you think they're going to do? Any guesses?
Which team? Know? Which team are we talking about? The Mets?
Both the Mets and the Yankees.
I think the Yankees are going to make a big move. And that's why I want to start with the Mets, because I think it's more important that the Mets start acting like big boys. They had this opportunity in 2022 and they screwed it up. They need to make this one right. The Yankees have historically gone for it. Now, we can knock them and say, well, they didn't go all the way in. Like, the best example of recent years is, well, they wanted Luis Castillo, but they settled for Frankie Montas. And you get what you pay for in life. And the Yankees got what they paid for. Now, will they go all the way in and get, let's say, a Blake Snell or a Skubal or a Flaherty? I do get the sense, after the Soto move and the way things have gone this year and the way the lineup all of a sudden the last few games is starting to click, I do get the sense the Yankees are going to go all in and either get Tanner Scott, the best reliever available, or get one of those three top starters.
I think they need starter, definitely. Yeah, this starting rotation scares me.
I'm torn with the Mets, Sam, and thank you for the call. Because I do truly believe in Steve. Like, I didn't make that up. But I also am trying to... maybe I shouldn't go off of the reports. You know, based on the reports, you get the feeling the Yankees are going to go all in and the Mets are going to add something, but it'll be something similar to what we've seen. Winker, Maton, Stanek, not the move. They need a the move. That's the guy to get. They need one of those. There's multiple great pieces out there. I named three top starters. You know the relievers by now. They need one of each. Now, that's if they want to be taken seriously. If you want us to come on here and talk about the Mets and be excited and talk about them being legitimate World Series contenders, that's what they need. Otherwise, I mean, a nice story, could still be a playoff team, but they didn't do all that they could do to get to that next level. They need, if they want to be taken seriously, and Cohen does talks about, you know, the Mets being the brand and being the team in town and all that stuff and competing with the Yankees, then they need to make big moves, big boy moves. And plus, what are you holding on to the prospects for? You don't know who's going to pan out or not. That's on Stern to figure it out. So to get back to the question, I know I'm going long-winded here. I don't have a true gut feel for what the Mets are going to do. I believe when it's all said and done, 6 o'clock today, the Yankees will have added a big pitcher. Maybe more, but I think the Yankees will have added the big pitcher. They're done with the lineup, maybe a bench piece, but they will add a big pitcher. I don't have the same confidence that the Mets will. They'll add something, but I'm unfortunately, my gut is doubting that it's going to be to the extent that it should be, that we want it to be, that they need it to be, to go out there and catch the Phillies or beat the Phillies and Dodgers in the postseason. They'll add something, but I don't know if it's going to be enough. I hope that I'm wrong in that regard. I want to believe in Steve, but I've heard just too much that makes me feel like 2021 hurt him to a point, and all the prospect stuff, and he loves the future of the organization. They're not going to go to that extent, and probably not the extent to take on the big contract either. Maybe Blake Snell's their best shot. Maybe they give up a prospect and figure out a way to take on some of that money. That might be the best chance, but I don't know if they... I can't tell you definitively. I have a great feel that that's going to be the case. I know that they have to do it. I don't have the trust that they will do it. Ryan is calling from NYC. What's up, Ryan?
Hi, I have an issue for Hoff's hubcap problem.
Oh, yeah, Hoff's hubcap issue. In case you missed that, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Go ahead.
Yeah, I have a station car I use for work. I drive in the city, and if he knows how to use a caulking gun, he just needs to take some clear silicone, put a bead around his hubcap, hit it on with a mallet and leave it overnight, and it'll never pop off again. It will pop off if he needs to change it.
All right, well, there you go. Thank you for solving that problem, Ryan. So there you go, Hoff. Spend the $85. Go get the hubcaps. Get a little silicone there. Use the caulk gun.
I'll pass it on to my wife.
Come on, Hoff. Can you change a tire?
Wait a second. Yeah. Didn't you call your wife up to change a tire?
No. I called her to sit in the car while the guy had to come and change the tire.
Okay.
I don't change the tires. I can't do it.
Right. Oh, can you caulk your hubcap?
No. I mean, well, if I had to, could I? Yeah, those things can be tricky. You got to cut off the tip of the caulk and then put it in the gun. I used to sell them when I worked at Home Depot. I probably could figure that out.
You sold caulks?
Yes. Vincent is calling from Bethpage. Vincent?
How you doing, Sal?
Good. What's up, Vincent?
All right. So I really believe that I don't think people are talking enough about how school you put Flaherty, Snell, and Skubal in the same category. But I think Skubal is by far the best option. I mean, he's 4 years younger than Snell. I think he had some injury stuff or something, but whenever he's pitched, he's been great. And he's a favorite to win the Cy Young. I think you bring this kid in, you give him whatever the hell they want, take Baez back, do whatever. But you bring that kid in and you sign him to an extension. You bring Snell in, he has an option for, I think, like $38 million next year or whatever it is. At the start of next year, I mean, and I don't think, I haven't looked too much into his numbers, but I don't think he's been that great that he's going to take the chance at free agency again based on what happened this past offseason. But, I mean, Snell, he comes in, then next year he takes a $38 million option. And when, I know you say win now, but I mean, you have to look ahead. I don't think mortgaging the future. I don't think if you're training for Skubal, that's mortgaging the future.
Right, because you're getting. I get it, Vincent. But Skubal is going to cost you a lot more. That's the key. And thank you for the call. You're making a lot of sense. And as I was listening to you talk right there, and the more I think about it, I don't even from a Mets perspective. I think Flaherty would be better for the Yankees. From a Mets perspective, I don't want Flaherty. I don't want the rental. From a Mets perspective, I think there are two moves. It's either Snell or Skubal. Now, Skubal is the home run move, as you said. The problem is that it's going to cost a significant amount more than Snell. So for the Mets, they have to weigh, is it worth it to take on Snell and his contract and then him vesting that option next year, and you have him, plus whatever prospect you'd have to give up, or potentially call the Tigers and force their hand and say, we know you may not be likely to trade Skubal, but here's what we're going to do. Starting with taking on the bulk, if not all, of Baez's contract. Now you're paying Baez to go away. I think there was $75 million owed, whatever. I'm not saying it's, small potatoes, but to Steve Cohen, if you want to win a World Series, it might be. By the way, this is also a move that is not just risking the future or going all in now. It's also helping you in the future. You need Skubal anyway, or a guy like that anyway. Now you'd be getting your raise. You were going to give Yamamoto $325, so go spend some of it on Skubal as far as paying Baez's contract. You're going to have to give up a top prospect or two. Now maybe Beatty plus, I don't know, I'm just throwing out the names that I know. Let's say Acuna and one of the arms. Who's the arm that everybody keeps talking about? Brandon Sproat, whatever. Him, he's another one, whatever. Pick an arm. I don't really care. Beatty, one of the top prospects, top five position players, and then maybe a top 10 arm. Now you're giving up Beatty, two top 10 prospects, and taking on a portion of Baez's contract. At least that's framework. I would assume that's framework. Now, the Tigers could say, well, we don't like any of that. You have to take on more money, whatever. I don't know the specifics. It's impossible to sit here and deal with hypotheticals when you really don't know what Detroit wants, what the Mets are going to be willing to give. But if I'm the Mets and I'm looking to make a big splash this year that could also help me next year, that's the right move. Because then you're not half-laying it. You're going all in now, but it also helps you next year. And I'd be willing to risk giving up some prospects in that particular case. And I'd rather go all in for Skubal and take on the money of Baez and give up the prospects than I would just take on the money of Snell and give up a lesser prospect. Either would be okay. I'd be happy at 601 if that's the case that they got either. But Skubal is the home run. He's the no doubt about it guy that you want to top your rotation, not only for now, but for years to come. So you're right. That's a king move. That would be a King Cohen-like move. That's the home run franchise move. Franchise-changing type move. You know, Flaherty be a nice addition for now, but he walks at the end of the year. And that's not a big deal anyway, but that's a rental. You want to be thinking big picture, change the franchise, have sustained success? Might cost a lot the Baez deal. I get it. Also, if the first trade for Baez at the deadline didn't work for you, maybe do it again this time and make it work for you in a different way. Some karma in there. Skubal's the key piece. He's the best piece available, if he is even available at the deadline. And like I said before, everybody has a price. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019 on the Fan. Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We've got a pair of field level tickets. See the Bronx Bombers against Texas at Yankee Stadium on Friday, August 9th. Right now, be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz and the Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. You know, it's an exciting day here. We hope that the teams, you know, Yankees have made an exciting move already with Jazz and he's paid dividends. I thought it was so cool that Jazz, and by the way, all the talk about, oh, how he's going to fit in, it just goes to show you. You know what? I don't want to believe any nonsense that's even written or stuff that you hear. You got to experience it firsthand. And it's hard for us as fans on the outside to really know. You know, you have to take some reporters at their word. You don't really know. But I don't know if they know because they go based off of their interactions or stuff that they've heard, but not all situations are created equally. Jazz couldn't have a bigger smile. He comes here, he looks excited, willing to play third base, great with the media, goes out there, flashes some leather at third, hitting a couple of homers, uses Judge's bat. How about the gumption on Chisholm, where he could go to Judge and be like, hey, you mind if I use this? Like, imagine that's something BT would do. He just walk in, he wouldn't even ask. He'd just walk in there and grab the bat. Be like, oh, Aaron, I'm going to use this. Is that all right? But I'd be like, oh, God, it's my second day here. You're going to ask Judge to use his bat? Isn't that supposed to be sacred? And to Judge's credit, he's like, yeah, but you better do something with it. And Chaz goes out there and homers with it. But just the fact that he would be open to ask, I think he's going to be a great fit here for the Yankees. I wasn't worried about the personality stuff initially when that trade went down, but more about, well, where's he going to play? I mean, the Yankees, he hasn't played third base at all. It's an odd fit, but he made it work. And if you could play shortstop, generally, you should be able to play third base. I mean, it's simple as that. That goes back to Little League. If you can play the left side of the infield, then especially shortstop, then you should be able to play third base as well. And obviously that was the case. Or looks like the case with Jazz after last night. He looked great over there. But point is, that was an exciting move. Yankees brought in a star and a personality. Is it the best fit? Is it the number one need? No, not necessarily, but it's going to help them, or at least like it looks like it should help them out. And it was an exciting move for their fan base. Remember, this is an entertainment business as well. Now, Ryan Stanek is not an exciting move. I know it's an area of need. Same thing with Jesse Winker. Like, man, that's a solid move. Great move. But it's not, you know, an exciting move that's going to excite the fan base and get people going nuts. The Mets still have to do that. In sports, there's no guarantee that you're going to win regardless of what type of team you field. On paper, it could be the greatest team ever assembled. Doesn't mean they're going to pan out and win. It'll play out like that. In reality, you don't know. But you do want to have some excitement. And obviously, the better players that you bring in, the better chance, theoretically, you should have it at going to win a World Series. And the Mets have clear needs, and there are clear people there. And I'm even texting or DMing with Joe DiMeo of SOI, who knows the prospects left and right, big Met fan. He listens to the show, and he'll DM me a little bit. He goes, you got to stop talking about Skubal. It's not going to happen. And I get why he would say that. Logic would say that Skubal's not going to be traded by Detroit. However, it doesn't mean that you can't have him for the right price. Same thing with Drake May. The Giants could have had Drake May, and we don't know how it could have panned out. Let's say that Joe Shane said, you know what? I want this guy. I'm doing it. I'm trading three future ones, like this year, next year, 2 years from now, whatever it may be. Trading, you know, three ones and two, whatever the package would have been to blow the Patriots away to get Drake May. And Drake May comes here, and's the next Eli Manning or Tom Brady or whatever, pick one. Then what? You think anybody would be like, whoa, they gave up too much? No, you don't know. And what if Drake May turns out to be a great quarterback with New England? We're going to sit here and say, hey, Joe Shane, you stuck with Daniel Jones. Yeah, that's great. You drafted neighbors, but you needed a quarterback. You could have gotten one. You don't want to go all in. So you could maybe get Skubal. Everybody's got a price. You have to blow them away. Like with the Orioles, for example, it was going to take Jackson Holliday, the number one prospect in baseball. Obviously, the Mets can't compete with that. But if they say, we'll take on Baez, bad contract, and give you three top 10 guys or whatever, you probably could get them. At least there's a chance for that. I don't believe anybody is untouchable, especially when you talk about a guy that's already been floated out there. It's got to be for the right price. And Skubal would be the guy that's worth giving up the farm to get, or taking on a bad contract to get. Nick is calling from Wayne. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing, Sal?
How are you, Nick?
I'm good. So before I make my point, I'm a Yankees fan, and I mean like 100% respect to the Mets when I ask this. But, you know, in the month of July, like, they split the Marlins, they split the Braves, they split the Pirates, they beat a really bad Yankee team. I'm just wondering, like, why are they all of a sudden in World Series contention talks?
Well, no, to be in World Series contention talks, they would have to, in my opinion anyway, get a top starter and a legitimate bullpen arm. But you look at the standings and you look at what happened last 2 years in the National League postseason with the Phillies and Diamondbacks going to the World Series, that's why. I mean, they have as good a chance of any. You think the Yankees have a chance to go to the World Series?
The way they're playing, it's really up in the air.
Do they have a chance?
Yeah, they have a chance.
Right, and the Mets just pasted them. So why wouldn't I think that the Mets have a chance with the right moves? Like, you've seen baseball, Nick, in recent years. If you get hot in October, anything's possible. Right now, there are only four teams better, one of which has a half-game lead over the Mets in the National League. So you could dismiss the Mets and say, oh, you know, it's a nice, cute little run. I'm not buying it. They're six games over 500. They've had one of the best offenses for 2 months in the entire sport. There's every chance that they could go to the World Series. I'm not saying I would bet on it or that it's likely to happen, but with the right moves, it certainly could happen.
And I respect that 100%. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm asking, because I'm not 100% tapped in with the Mets season. That's why I wanted to call and what your take was on that.
Yeah, again, it's not likely, Nick, and I get what you're saying, and thanks for the call. It's hard to imagine a team that was once 0-5 to start, a team that didn't have great expectations coming into the year by many, although the owner, to his credit, and the president kept talking playoffs, and it looks like they were right. At least the team is competing for a playoff spot at the very least. It's 50-something games to go. I mean, they're there right now in a playoff spot. They were 11 games under 500, and you're thinking the season is over, they have to trade everybody, so why now the turn? Well, it hasn't just been overnight. It's been going on for 2 months. June, July, we're approaching August, and the Mets offense has been one of the best in baseball. And their team, their record has been one of the best in baseball since June, or June 7th specifically. That's why. And because of the landscape of the postseason now in baseball, where you saw the Diamondbacks who won, what, 84 games last year get to the World Series, where you saw, no, like, nobody in their right mind would have said the Diamondbacks are going to go to the World Series last year. How are they ever going to beat the Dodgers? Boom, Diamondbacks World Series. Braves 2 years ago, excuse me, Phillies 2 years ago when it was the Braves and Mets finishing 14 games or whatever, 13 games in front of the Phillies in the standings. It was all about the Braves. The NL East, Mets, Braves, all year long, 2022. Mets, Braves, all year long. And the Phillies, third team, finished two touchdowns behind them in the standings. They end up going to the World Series. But it's not just that. It's the combination of that plus what the Mets have done. They have a good team. They are clearly lacking in two areas. They need another legit bullpen arm, and even more importantly, they need a top-of-the-rotation starter. If they do those two things, I'm not saying they're going to go to the World Series. I'm saying that they could go to the World Series, where earlier in the year there were ceilings and limitations put on what this group could do. Yeah, that's nice. Maybe make a wild card. Now they're one of the top wild cards and could take it further with the right acquisition. That's the point. Alex is calling from Middletown. What's up, Alex?
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
How are you, Alex?
Good. First of all, I like your Million Dollar Man references.
Yeah.
Everybody has a price.
Yeah, it's true. Ted DiBiase said it back in 87, and has a it is true.
Or yeah, it's always true, right? you know, I agree with you as far as possibly taking on some bad contracts. I don't want any part of Snuggs. I think it's a stiff. But the worst one, I think, and for reasons that we already saw, would be Baez. I mean, right now the Mets are winning and their clubhouse seems to be really good. I mean, to me, this guy's a cancer, and I don't know if he could, you know, he might do the same thing again.
Yeah,
you know,
well, let me be clear about that, Alex. First of all, I don't think the Mets have the appetite to do that, but I would do it and pay him to go away. Like, you trade that, you trade for Skubal in this hypothetical. You take on Baez's contract because you wouldn't be able to get him without taking on Baez's contract, and then you just cut Baez. Like, you're paying him to go away. You're basically eating, you know, let's say the $60 million or whatever that they'd have to pick up. I know it's a lot to ask. I know it's probably not realistic, but that's what you would do. It wouldn't be bringing in Baez to this team. It would be taking on that contract and basically paying him to go away just for the opportunity to bring in Skubal.
That makes a heck of a lot more sense.
Yeah.
All right.
And thank you, Alex. I'm kind of with you on Snell too. Until now, like, I thought Snell was a stiff, and I wouldn't really want him. Certainly with the Mets, it could have been a different story with the Yankees because he doesn't have to be the guy with the Yankees behind Gerrit Cole. But now, after seeing Snell struggle a little bit, and then more recently pitching well, and the potential that he could bring, plus the clear need for the Mets, I'm not sure there's a better fit. Again, we know what Skubal would mean, but we also know what it would take. And that, at best, it's a you know, very unrealistic dream-type scenario. I understand that. I still believe it's possible, but I don't think the Mets are going to do what would be needed to be able to get him. Whereas with Blake Snell, it might be the best fit, at least in the short term, because you can get him by taking on the money, and even though the Giants said they want prospects too, that's fine, but you don't have to give up top prospects in that case. I'm calling their bluff on that. I'd say I'll pay the bulk of the contract. I'm not giving you a top prospect. You could pick, you know, a top 20 guy or whatever from 10 to 20. You're not getting a top guy if I'm taking on the bulk of the contract. You want to take on half the contract, then I'll give you a top 10, whatever it may be. But Snell to me seems like a better fit because of the money, because of the lesser prospect, and because he has been postseason proven, and even this year's last, you know, few starts have been dominant. So he's got the potential to be an ace. I mean, he got a couple Cy Youngs. He is an ace. So even with this slow start, maybe start to come into form now, which is exactly what you need. You need him at the right time to take off. You need an ace. He is an ace, and it certainly has that potential. And probably a better fit financially, prospect-wise as well. I don't love him, but at least for this year, even if I had to deal with him picking up the option next year, you could live with that for a season. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls on the other side.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about this. Every Tuesday at 12:40. Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie. All right, Hop, me and you today with BT out. We'll be back tomorrow for our special shows. We'll fill in afternoons for Evan and Tiki. We'll be on after the Yankee game and be simulcast on SNY after the Met game. So we're looking forward to that. What do you got for us today, Hop?
All right, Sal, since you're the only one here, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth. Hmm. The Mets have a team of destiny now that Frank the Tank and Sal Licata have united to be on the same team.
Well, I mean, you know I don't believe in any of that stuff, but that is a bald-faced truth. Yes, you have seen what happened with Frank and I coming together. We hashed it out yesterday, the WFAN Daily Podcast. In case you missed it, check it out. And you can see it on YouTube. Frank and I had a little talk. He got on me, called me a mush. I told him, all right, if the Mets don't make the postseason, I will not tweet about the Mets ever again. But if they do, I want an apology. He agreed to that. But I felt like there was at least a joining. We may not see eye to eye on everything. And I told him his negativity could be too much sometimes and maybe hurting the Mets. And he said, all right, whatever. And he called me a mush. And like I said, all right, I get it. I'm sensitive to the 2022 stuff. Maybe I shouldn't be tweeting like that. We kind of hashed it out, came together, and look what happened. The Mets pounded out 15 runs last night. So, yes, Hoff, that is a bold-faced truth. Frank and I burying the hatchet, at least for now. I think it's going to help the Mets here. Good karma.
I will say this much. It's a bald-faced lie, but only because they were, the way I worded it, was their team of destiny. Now, they've been a team of destiny all season long.
Because of Grimace, because of the
OMGs. Yeah, right.
Has nothing to do with the players, but yes.
But it's everything. This is their
Grimace, part. OMG.
It's all part of their story, and this fits in, but you're not the key part, but you are
the rally pimp. Let's not forget about that dude who started out. Yeah, right.
0-5. Okay.
He started everything, getting going the right way. Okay, what else we got?
All right. Sal, you're up next. Bald face truth, bald face lie. Malik Nabers will catch 9 or more touchdowns in his rookie season.
I'm not good with numbers. I'm going to say that's a bald face truth. I'd have to believe. Now, I don't believe in Daniel Jones, but I don't care if it's a backup quarterback throwing a Malik Nabers. He's got to be able to get more than 9 touchdowns, no?
So, just a little fact checking here.
Yeah. Who was the top rookie last year? Or
I actually don't have that.
What do you got?
Most overall, though, was Randy Moss with 17 touchdowns.
So, okay, most ever.
Now, for the Giants, it's Odell Beckham with 12.
Yeah, I think he's going to go over 9.
There's three. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Ken McAfee are tied at third with 8. So this would be third on the list.
It's kind of record-breaking then, right? Third on the list. I still think that. Again, maybe I'm off with that, but I still think if Nabers is going to be what everybody says he should be, the most dominant top pick, wide receiver, lights out stud, no question about it, and the Giants don't have weapons outside of him being the focal point. I know you get to spread touchdowns around and a lot of stuff. There's going to be teams focusing on him, but I'm going to go over that. I'm going to be positive with the Giants here, and whether it's DJ or somebody else eventually throwing it to Nabers, I believe Nabers is going to be that stud on the field. I'll go over.
I will say this is going to be a bald-faced truth.
There
you go. Okay. Bald-faced truth, because I do think he's going to break the record. I think he's going to be, he's going to have at least 13 touchdowns. Why? He's going to break the Odell Beckham Jr. record, because Odell did it in 11 games, by the way.
Right, okay.
So this will be a full season with Malik. As long as he stays healthy, he can break that number. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that's interesting. What did Hakeem Nicks have the year that they won the Super Bowl? I know he was a beast in the postseason, but
his rookie year. Hold on, I do. I have
I feel like 9 is...
He had 6.
That's it?
Yeah. Second was with 10 reception touchdowns, Bill Swiatki.
What about Amani Toomer at his peak here?
Peak year or just rookie year?
At his peak here with the Giants. What was his highs of touchdowns in the season?
Well, I was just saying rookie years. Hold on.
Let's see.
But let me see.
I got what you're saying. You're talking about for a rookie. I got it. Yeah, Nabers is going to go over that 9. Okay. No wonder why. Now it makes all the sense. Man, I misunderstood.
Makes a ton of sense,
okay,
Michael.
What do you got?
All right, last one. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Sal Licata will watch 15-plus minutes of Olympics in totality.
Oh, God, no. That's a bald-faced lie. I will tell you, I mentioned before we had my wife's friends from out of town. They were in, and he wanted to watch a little of the Olympics. We watched some USA basketball when that started on, whatever it was, Sunday. I guess Sunday at noon or something. I just don't care. I don't understand how anybody could get into it. But apparently, I was reading my buddy Jimmy Traina's tweets. He was saying that NBC has done monster ratings here. I could not care less about the Olympics. Zero interest in it, in every aspect of it. Maybe the winter might be a little different, but even then, I'm pretty sure I don't have any interest anymore. Like when I was younger, I used to watch the figure skating a little bit. And even maybe, you know, 10 or so years ago, I watched the curling. I thought that that was fun. Hockey, I get into the hockey in the Olympics a little bit. So yeah, maybe winter more so. But Summer Olympics, oh my God, no. Basketball, I could not care less. You watch it, Huff?
No, I can't. Like, it's on right now in the background, but I'm not actually watching it. Like, I have no interest in anything Olympics. Even Winter Olympics, like, it's tough for me to watch anything. So, no.
I wouldn't even have it on. I got reruns of Sports Night last night with Nikki Lattarullo and Eamon McEnany on the TV here. Yes, watching the Metro.
I've noticed that I put SNY on after the games that I watch it on, like, my Fire Stick. And because I just leave it there, it just goes on repeat over and over and over. So it's nice.
Which I'd rather that than the Olympics. All right, BT and Salon, thank you, Hoff. Good job with the bald face truth, bald face lie. Get it again next Tuesday at 12:40. All right, BT Salon, the fan, BT off. We'll be back tomorrow. Ed is calling from Marlboro. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, listen, I totally, Sal, I agree with you. Scoble would be like a win-win situation. I mean, whatever they had to give up to get him, I would do it. I mean, you're getting an ace, a number one. How many of them are out there as good as he is? So I understand it's probably not going to happen, but boy, that would be a great, great, great move by the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, that's the home run move, Ed, and thank you for the call. And look, it's not like we're breaking news to the Mets that would be a home run move. They know it. It's just going to take a ton to get it. Like, that would be one that you're probably going to have to hurt the farm system a little bit for, and take on a bad contract if Detroit would even be willing to dance. But I do think that they would if you called them up and said, before you hang up, we'll take Baez's contract off your hands. Now you're talking. But he's under control as well. So not only is he a top young starter, not only do the Mets desperately need a top-end starter right now, but he's not a free agent until 2027. So it helps them over the course of the next couple of seasons as well. You have him the next few seasons. It's going to be a tall price to ask, obviously, and it's why, in all likelihood, he's probably not going to get dealt. But if you make them an offer that they cannot refuse, maybe you could have him. I would do everything in my power to make that happen. Take on Baez for starters and then give up. He's going to take three of the top 10? You do it. Because in all likelihood, none of those prospects are ever going to be as good as Scooball. And the Mets need pitching anyway. And as they've proven, you could restock the farm in a season. I mean, I don't expect it to happen. I know it's not realistic, but I don't think that it's impossible. And that would be the home run. Now, you might have to settle for Snell, which I would. I gave you three options. Go ahead, Off. What do you got?
No, I just had a question for you because we were talking about, like, trading and eating contracts or trading prospects.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you, Sal Licata, yes, Mets fan,
yeah,
you have an opportunity and it is one of these options and only these options. Would you prefer to do nothing this trade deadline or pick up Javi Baez's contract and get Jack Flaherty and just call it a day there and not give up any prospects? Or do nothing.
I mean, if I'm only left with those two options, I don't like the idea of taking on Baez. Like, a part of his contract, maybe. I don't think you could justify taking all of it. I'm trying to look at
What if I say, because it's $73 million over the next 3 years for Baez.
Right.
So
Hell is there, why am I looking at this, but I'm not seeing it come up? I'm on SpotTrack here, or Spotrac, however you say it. And I'm trying to look at the payroll Yandy salary. Where is, Yandy. I'm like, Hoff, what's going on? He's like, oh, Yandy Diaz. Yanks are rumored to be on Yandy Diaz. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Yandy Diaz, but what do I know? Where is Baez money for this year? What is he? Why is it not even showing up?
It's about $25 million this year. He's owed the next 3 years $73 million. He's owed, it's 24.
Oh, that's why it's unsuspended, restricted. What happened with him? He got suspended for something?
I don't know.
No wonder why I'm looking for it. I'm like, where the hell is it? I can't find it. He got suspended for something, Baez.
Well, he hasn't started playing baseball yet, so maybe that's what it is.
He's got $25 million this year. And you said that for the next 3 years?
For the next 3 years, he's owed $73 million.
Including this year or after this year?
After this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. They'd probably want to get out from under that, I would think. Yeah, he signed through 2027. So it would be the same. Hey, here's what you do. Here's why you do it. Think about this for a second. If you're able to, and again, I don't know if the Tigers would be willing to do this, but it would take a lot, starting with taking on Baez's contract. But from a Mets perspective, if you trade for Baez and Skubal, and obviously you give up the prospects as well, which is going to be the hardest part for the Mets, do they even have a match? Would they be willing to part with some of those prospects? But it starts with taking on Baez's contract. You'd be paying Baez $25 million for the next, you know, whatever is left of this season, plus the next three, as Hoff said, to go away, because you don't want him to be a part of the team. But you'd be getting Skubal on the cheap for the next 3 years because he's under team control, as you said, what, through 2027, Hoff?
Yeah.
So doesn't that balance out? Because the value, can you bring up, where are you at right now? Can you check Skubal?
Yeah, I have him here.
What is he making the next 3 years?
I mean, he's arbitration. So right now, this year, he's 2.65 for this 1 year.
That's it?
That's it. And then next year's arbitration two.
Right, so he's going to jump up, but it's not going to be to that extent. See, that's exactly why you do it. You'd basically be paying, even if Skubal goes up, which he will in arbitration, but you're paying Baez what you would be paying Skubal anyway. So that's why if you take on that contract, it's almost a wash. Then you're going to have to give up prospects to do it. Financially, that makes sense. I would not do it for Flaherty, though. I'm not taking on Baez's contract for Flaherty.
Well, that's why I said the only option was nothing or Flaherty. Because at that point, I don't know how realistic Skubal is.
No, I just think I'm not going to make stupid moves just because it's the only move out there.
Flaherty,
you know what I mean?
Flaherty this year is not stupid.
You know, if I was hungry and the only option was dirt, I'm not eating dirt. Like, I'll suck it up until I find something else. I can't just, well, you're starving, but your only option is to, you know, grab a handful of that dirt right there. And they can eat that. Baez for Flaherty, taking on Baez's contract for Flaherty, that's dirt. I don't want to do that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back, take more of your calls. One more hour to go before Evan and Tiki come your way at 2 o'clock. Deadline at 6. What will happen with the Mets and Yankees? Here, even if I had to deal with them picking up the option next year, you could live with that for a season. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. More of your calls on the other side.
Now time for Bold Face Lie, Bold Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Oh, I forgot about this. Every Tuesday at 12:40, Bald Face Truth, Bald Face Lie. All right, Hoff, me and you today with BT out. We'll be back tomorrow for our special shows. We'll fill in afternoons for Evan and Tiki. We'll be on after the Yankee game and be simulcast on SNY after the Met game. So we're looking forward to that. What do you got for us today, Hoff?
All right, Sal, since you're the only one here, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth. Hmm. The Mets have a team of destiny now that Frank the Tank and Sal Licata have united to be on the same team.
Well, I mean, you know I don't believe in any of that stuff, but that is a bald-faced truth. Yes, you have seen what happened with Frank and I coming together. We hashed it out yesterday, the WFAN Daily Podcast. In case you missed it, check it out. And you can see it on YouTube. Frank and I had a little talk. He got on me, called me a mush. I told him, all right, if the Mets don't make the postseason, I will not tweet about the Mets ever again. But if they do, I want an apology. He agreed to that. But I felt like there was at least a joining. We may not see eye to eye on everything. And I told him his negativity could be too much sometimes and maybe hurting the Mets. And he said, all right, whatever. And he called me a mush. And like I said, all right, I get it. I'm sensitive to the 2022 stuff. Maybe I shouldn't be tweeting like that. We kind of hashed it out, came together, and look what happened. The Mets pounded out 15 runs last night. So yes, Hoff, that is a bold-faced truth. Frank and I burying the hatchet, at least for now. I think it's going to help the Mets here. Good karma.
I will say this much. It's a bald-faced lie, but only because they were, the way I worded it was their team of destiny. Now, they've been a team of destiny all season long. Because of the OMGs.
Yeah, right. It has nothing to do with the players, but yes.
But it's everything. This is their
Grimace, part. OMG.
It's all part of their story, and this fits in, but you're not the key part, but you are
the rally pimp. Let's not forget about that dude who started out. Yeah, right.
0-5. Okay. Yeah.
He started everything, getting going the right way. Okay, what else we got?
All right. Sal, you're up next. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Malik Nabers will catch 9 or more touchdowns in his rookie season?
I'm not good with numbers. I'm going to say that's a bald-faced truth. I'd have to believe. Now, I don't believe in Daniel Jones, but I don't care if it's a backup quarterback throwing to Malik Nabers. He's got to be able to get more than 9 touchdowns, no?
So, just a little fact-checking here.
Yeah. Who was the top rookie last year? Or
I actually don't have that.
What do you got?
Was Randy Moss with 17 touchdowns.
So, okay, most ever.
Now, for the Giants, it's Odell Beckham with 12.
Yeah, I think he's going to go over 9.
There's three. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, and Ken McAfee are tied at third with 8. So this would be
the list. It's kind of record-breaking then, right? Third on the list. I still think that, again, maybe I'm off with that, but I still think if Nabers is going to be what everybody says he should be, the most dominant top pick, wide receiver, lights out stud, no question about it, and the Giants don't have weapons outside of him being the focal point. I know you get to spread touchdowns around and all that stuff. There's going to be teams focusing on him, but I'm going to go over that. I'm going to be positive with the Giants here. And whether it's DJ or somebody else eventually throwing it to Nabers, I believe Nabers is going to be that stud on the field. I'll go over.
I will say this is going to be a bald-faced truth
bald
as well.
Bald-faced truth.
There
yes.
you go. Okay. Bald-faced truth because I do think he's going to break the record. I think he's going to have at least 13 touchdowns.
Why?
He's going to break the Odell Beckham Jr. record because Odell did it in 11 games, by the way.
Right. Okay.
So this will be a full season with Malik. As long as he stays healthy, he can break that number. So I'm looking forward to that.
And that's interesting. What did Hakeem Nicks have the year that they won the Super Bowl? I know he was a beast in the postseason, but
his rookie year. Hold on, I do. I have Hakeem.
I feel like 9 is.
He had 6.
That's it?
Yeah. Second was with 10 reception touchdowns, Bill Swiatki.
What about Amani Toomer at his peak here?
Peak year or just
rookie his
year?
At his peak here with the Giants. What was it? What was his highs of touchdowns in the season?
Well, I was just saying rookie years. Hold on.
Okay.
But let me see.
I got what you're saying. You're talking about for a rookie.
For a rookie.
Oh, I got it. Yeah, Nabers is going to go over that 9. Okay. No wonder why. Now it makes all the sense. Man, I misunderstood.
Makes a ton of sense,
Michael. Okay, what do you got?
All right, last one. Bald-faced truth, bald-faced lie. Sal Licata will watch 15-plus minutes of Olympics in totality.
Oh, God, no. That's a bald-faced lie. I will tell you, I mentioned before we had my wife's friends from out of town they were in, and he wanted to watch a little of the Olympics. We watched some USA basketball when that started on, whatever it was, Sunday. Sunday at noon or something. I just don't care. I don't understand how anybody could get into it. But apparently, I was reading my buddy Jimmy Traina's tweets. He was saying that NBC has done monster ratings here. I could not care less about the Olympics. Zero interest in it, in every aspect of it. Maybe the winter might be a little different, but even then, I'm pretty sure I don't have any interest anymore. Like when I was younger, I used to watch the figure skating a little bit. And even maybe, 10 or so years ago, I watched the curling. I thought that was fun. Hockey, I get into the hockey in the Olympics a little bit. So yeah, maybe winter more so. But Summer Olympics, oh my God, no. Basketball, I could not care less. You watch it, Huff?
No, I can't. It's on right now in the background, but I'm not actually watching it. Like, I have no interest in anything Olympics, even Winter Olympics. Like, it's tough for me to watch anything. So
I wouldn't even have it on. I got reruns of Sports Night last night with Nikki Lattarullo and Eamon McEnany on the TV here. Yes, watching the Metro.
I've noticed that I put SNY on after the games that I watch it on, like my Fire Stick. And because I just leave it there, it just goes on repeat over and over and over. So it's nice.
Which I'd rather that than the Olympics. All right, BT and Salon, thank you, Hoff. Good job with the bald face truth, bald face lie. Get it again next Tuesday at 12:40. All right, BT Salon on the Fan, BT off. We'll be back tomorrow. Ed is calling from Marlboro. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, listen, I totally, Sal, I agree with you. A Scoble would be like a win-win situation. I mean, whatever they had to give up to get him, I would do it. I mean, you're getting an ace, a number one. How many of them are out there as good as he is? So I understand it's probably not going to happen, but boy, that would be a great, great, great move by the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, that's the home run move, Ed, and thank you for the call. And look, it's not like we're breaking news to the Mets that would be a home run move. They know it. It's just going to take a ton to get it. Like, that would be one that you're probably going to have to hurt the farm system a little bit for, and take on a bad contract if Detroit would even be willing to dance. But I do think that they would if you called them up and said, before you hang up, we'll take Baez's contract off your hands. Now you're talking. But he's under control as well. So not only is he a top young starter, not only do the Mets desperately need a top-end starter right now, but he's not a free agent until 2027, so it helps them over the course of the next couple of seasons as well. You have him the next few seasons. It's going to be a tall price to ask, obviously, and it's why, in all likelihood, he's probably not going to get dealt. But if you make them an offer that they cannot refuse, maybe you could have him. I would do everything in my power to make that happen. Take on Baez for starters and then give up. He's going to take three of the top 10? You do it. Because in all likelihood, none of those prospects are ever going to be as good as Skubal. And the Mets need pitching anyway. And as they've proven, you can restock the farm in a season. I mean, I don't expect it to happen. I know it's not realistic, but I don't think that it's impossible. And that would be the home run. Now, you might have to settle for Snell, which I would. I gave you three options. Go ahead, Off. What do you got?
No, I just had a question for you because we were talking about like trading and eating contracts or trading prospects.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you, Sal Licata, yes. Mets fan,
yeah.
You have an opportunity, and it is one of these options and only these options. Would you prefer to do nothing this trade deadline or pick up Javi Baez's contract and get Jack Flaherty and just call it a day there and not give up any prospects or do nothing?
I mean, if I'm only left with those two options, I don't like the idea of taking on Baez's contract. Like, a part of his contract, maybe. I don't think you could justify taking all of it. I'm trying to look at
What if I say, because it's $73 million over the next 3 years for Baez.
Right.
So if
where
you
the hell is there, why am I looking at this, but I'm not seeing it come up? I'm on SpotTrack here, or SpotTrack, however you say it, and I'm trying to look at the payroll Yandy. Salary. Where is, Yandy. I'm like, Hoff, what's going on? He's like, oh, Yandy Diaz. Yanks are rumored to be on Yandy Diaz. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it's Yandy Diaz, but what do I know? Where is Baez money for this year? What is he? Why is it not even showing up?
It's about $25 million this year. He's owed the next 3 years $73 million. He's owed, it's 25, 24, 24.
Oh, that's why it's unsuspended, restricted. What happened with him? He got suspended for something?
I don't know.
No wonder why I'm looking for it. I'm like, where the hell is it? I can't find it. He got suspended for something, Baez.
Well, he hasn't started playing baseball yet, so maybe that's what it is.
He's got $25 million this year. And you said that for the next 3 years?
For the next 3 years, he's owed $73 million.
Including this year or after this year?
After this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money. They'd probably want to get out from under that, I would think. Yeah, he signed through 2027. So it would be the same. Hey, here's what you do. Here's why you do it. Think about this for a second. If you're able to, and again, I don't know if the Tigers would be willing to do this, but it would take a lot, starting with taking on Baez's contract. But from a Mets perspective, if you trade for Baez and Skubal, and obviously you give up the prospects as well, which is going to be the hardest part for the Mets. Did they even have a match? Would they be willing to part with some of those prospects? But it starts with taking on Baez's contract. You'd be paying Baez $25 million for the next, whatever is left of this season, plus the next three, as Hoff said, to go away, because you don't want him to be a part of the team. But you'd be getting Skubal on the cheap for the next 3 years, because he's under team control, as you said, through 2027, Huff?
Yeah.
So doesn't that balance out? Because the value, can you bring up, where are you at right now? Can you check Skubal?
Yeah, I have him here.
What is he making the next 3 years?
I mean, he's arbitration. So right now, this year, he's 2.65 for this 1 year.
That's it?
That's it. And then next year's arbitration two.
Right, so he's going to jump up, but it's not going to be to that extent. See, that's exactly why you do it. You'd basically be paying, even if Skubal goes up, which he will in arbitration, but you're paying Baez what you would be paying Skubal anyway. So that's why if you take on that contract, it's almost a wash. Then you're going to have to give up prospects to do it. Financially, that makes sense. I would not do it for Flaherty, though. I'm not taking on Baez's contract for Flaherty.
Well, that's why I said the only option was nothing or Flaherty, because at that point, I don't know how realistic Skubal is.
No, I just think I'm not going to make stupid moves just because it's the only move out there.
Flaherty this year is not stupid.
You know, if I was hungry and the only option was dirt, I'm not eating dirt. Like, I'll suck it up until I find something else. I can't just, well, you're starving, but your only option is to, you know, grab a handful of that dirt right there. And they can eat that. Baez for Flaherty, taking on Baez contract for Flaherty, that's dirt. I don't want to do that. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan. Come back, take more of your calls. One more hour to go before Evan and Tiki come your way at 2 o'clock. Deadline at 6. What will happen with the Mets and Yankees?